Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Welcome to Sunday Night Live.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Bev, who, let's see, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 4 days after her birthday on July 4th.
That's it.
You know, honey, if I had a penny for every time somebody said to me, the enemy's just trying to hold me down or my circumstances are holding me back, I'd have enough money to spend a week in Bora Bora.
Would you take me with me?
I'd take you with me.
Okay, good.
I said a week, but I'd really like to put a month because that's one of my dream vacations.
Mm-hmm.
What people say when they say this to me, my usual response is, you're right, and I don't want to know. I don't want to know your circumstances. It's not that I'm not compassionate, because people who know me know that I am. But it's just, we'll talk about it. You'll get the understanding. Dictionary.com defines circumstances as a condition, detail, part, or attribute with respect to time, place, manner, agent that accompanies, determines, or modifies a fact or an event, a modifying or influencing factor. Spiritually speaking, I define circumstances as the circle you're standing in. And in which case, if you're standing still, then you have to deal with them. But if you're doing what 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, you're moving from glory unto glory, then you can leave those circumstances behind. So for me, the question is, what I want to hear about what you ought to be leaving behind. Every time someone painstakingly reviews, renews, or refreshes their circumstances,
that's right,
they're forcing themselves to live them again. We don't need to revive our circumstances or what we think is holding us down or holding us back. We need to seek answers, ways to rise above circumstances, whatever they may be. Or as I've said a number of times in Facebook posts and other places, you need to focus on the promise and not the problem. And that's the key. It really
is. Amen.
And no matter how difficult or critical or chronic, however you want to say it, your circumstance is, probably what's going to have to happen first, not probably, you're going to have to change how you view those circumstances and look at them differently. When and if you're tempted to tell someone they don't know your circumstances, when you do that, there are three things you're setting in motion. First, when you say you don't know my circumstances, you're taking ownership of those circumstances. I don't think I put this in the outline, but you need to write it down. And welcome to everybody around the world watching. Excuse me. Here it is. Never possess what you want to release. Never possess what you want to release. The enemy wants you to believe the circumstances you're facing are yours and always will be. If we believe there is life and death in the power of the tongue, and the scripture says there is, then calling the circumstances yours is a big mistake.
That's right. In Proverbs 18, verse 21, Proverbs 18, 21 in the World English Bible translation, a little bit different. I'm going to personalize this, honey, tonight. Okay. It says, death and life are in the power of clay's tongue. And if clay loves it, he's going to eat the fruit thereof. Whatever we speak can be ours, but if you don't want it, let's just give those circumstances to God.
That's the winning idea.
And rise above.
Scriptural idea.
That's right. The tricks and traps of the enemy. In 1 Peter 5, verse 7, in the Classic Amplified Bible, it says, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns once and for all on him, for he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully.
The question is, who would you rather have watching over your circumstances? You or God. Cares, anxieties, worries, concerns, all of these are the product of circumstances. It's time for, a spiritual transfer.
There you go.
Your circumstances to God.
Give our hands to God's hands. The last part of Mark 11:23 in the King James Version says, "He shall have whatsoever he saith." So we need to be very careful about what we say.
Second, don't believe or ignore the fact that God is bigger than your circumstances.
Amen.
When we've been struggling with a problem for a long time, there's a huge tendency to let
the devil talk us into believing we have to live with it. And you know, he's really good about that on a chronic way, reminding us, you know, that it's just happening over and over and over. But, you know, there's an old saying, and we're not sure who wrote it, but it is powerful. It says, don't tell God you have a big problem. Tell the problem you have a big God. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 in the Classic Amplified Bible, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts."
You know, too many times we find ourselves bringing God down to our level.
That's right.
Instead of raising ourselves up to his way of thinking and doing things.
That's right.
And that's a huge difference and a big mistake to do that.
Mm.
When dealing with difficult situations, circumstances, or problems, when things aren't going our way, sometimes we may ask, "Why, God? Why?" As we give our circumstances to God, we should be asking, "What, God? What are you trying to show us? What do I need to learn in this?"
Mm.
If we make the circumstances we're dealing with bigger than God, then we've just made a huge spiritual mistake if
That's
we do
true.
That. Plus, we've destined ourselves to live with our current mess until we decide to give it to Jesus. Third, when we turn our circumstances over to God, we're making it his problem and not ours.
Hallelujah. Philippians 4, verse 6 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, "Don't be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God." I've talked about it many times. You know, sometimes when I'm in my prayer time in the morning, if I've got a chronic situation, what we talked about, I just keep giving it to the Lord, presenting it to the Lord, in a way of going, "Lord, here it is. You know that this is it. I know you have an answer, and I know you're going to show me how to solve this problem." So as we give, you know, this, our circumstances, cares and anxieties and worries to him, we should be able to give that overwhelming release and peace that it talks about, to know that he's now going to handle the problem and we need to just stay steady with him. In Philippians 4, verse 7 in the Living Bible, it says, "If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand." Hallelujah. "His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet as you rest at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus." Sorry.
When you give your circumstances to God, begin praising him.
Thank you,
then
Lord.
Then he can handle what you could.
That's true.
Let God be God in your life.
Amen.
Before we move on, honey, I want to back up to that first key. When you say you don't know my circumstances, you're taking ownership of those circumstances. The last scripture that you quoted, "He shall have whatsoever he saith."
Yeah.
If you say my circumstances, then you've taken ownership of it instead of letting God handle it, deal with it, and solve the problem.
Mm.
And that's huge. Okay. Now let's talk about seven ways to rise above whatever is holding you down, back, or circumstances.
Or keeps you from fulfilling your divine destiny.
Absolutely. Number one. God protects you against your circumstances.
Hallelujah. Psalm 112, verse 6 in the Living Bible. Such a man will not be overthrown by evil circumstances. God's constant care of him will make a deep impression on all who see it. The man the scripture is talking about is one who is generous and fair. You know, when we treat others properly, we can be a channel of blessing, financial or otherwise, in someone's life. And then, I mean, God, we're being a blessing for God, and God has our back. You know, he'll protect us from every evil, really, circumstance the enemy can throw our way when we're trusting and putting it in his hands. No matter what the circumstance is, he will find a way that we are not deceived or deluded or defeated or destroyed by the tactics of the enemy that he might choose to use against us. We are discerning and keeping in his perfect will. Charles Spurgeon, the great pastor and author, once said, if we cannot believe God when circumstances seem to be against us, we do not believe in him at all.
Say that again. I know I put it in the notes, but say it again.
If we cannot believe God when circumstances seem to be against us, we do not believe him at all.
Wow.
I know there's that proverb too, and we didn't throw it in this one, but it says if you crumble in, you know, the sight of adversity, you were pretty weak, all you know, in the beginning. I mean, I'm paraphrasing. That's a herring paraphrase.
One translation says, if you fall to pieces, it wasn't much to you to begin with.
That's it. I think that's the Message Bible.
I think it
is. But, you know, if you're seeking the Lord every day, there's actually another little quote we could throw in there, a little saying that says, if your Bible is falling apart, that pretty much means that you're not. The person who owns it is not falling apart. You know, if we're using our Bibles and putting the Word to work, then we have a pretty good chance that the enemy can't really trip us up if we're staying focused on God.
As a side note, I saw a Bible a couple of days ago that someone gave to my father last weekend, and it belonged to a family member. And Dad had given that man that Bible in 1960. Mm-hmm. A little New Testament. And had been used. He also gave him scriptures to go with it. And the Bible was 58 years. Mm-hmm. It had been that man's family. So,
Hallelujah.
That's an amazing thing.
It is.
Here's the thing about all this. Our faith should never be stagnant.
That's it.
It has to be growing. And as it grows, we'll believe bigger and stronger about overcoming everything that we face, because our faith gets us through that. Albert Einstein once said, we can't solve our problems with the same thinking we used when we created them.
That's true. Number two, where's the best advice in dealing with your circumstances? You know, when confronted with a problem or a difficult circumstance, most people, including believers, seek the wisdom of the world. You know, they Google it, or they're, you know, looking for something in the world situation. The problem is the situation that we face, like say it, you know, like if you're at work, the tendency is to talk about it with coworkers.
Commiserate,
yeah, as we like to say. That is a spiral that leads in the wrong direction.
It does.
You know, if you have a problem at home with your spouse or your children, you know, they want to talk with their best friend. There are times when somebody may take it to the pastor, but unfortunately that's not generally the first choice if they really are seeking help.
So really the question is?
Yes.
The question is, where can we get the best advice on how to deal with what's holding us down, back, and the circumstances we're facing?
That's it. Numbers 9, verse 8.
I love this scripture.
In the Message Bible, you know, this is where Message Bibles, we call it where the rubber meets the road, says, Moses said, give me some time. I'll find out what God says in your circumstances.
That's it. Let's find out what God says about my circumstances.
Yeah, and sometimes that takes a little more time and effort than we,
it's
in
not
this
one
busy
of those,
world, want to put into it.
It's not one of those where you drive up to a toot and tell it, you know. In fact, I heard a church one time say they were going to have a drive-through prayer window, and they were going to call toot and tell it. Well, you can't do that and expect an immediate answer.
That's it.
But if you're in his presence, he'll give you an answer. He'll send you the way out.
That's it.
When I pray about things that we need answers to, I ask the Lord for wisdom, knowledge, understanding, answers, directions, instructions, and ideas on how to deal with situations.
Amen.
And that's part of what I do every day. Every day.
And mine is please open the eyes of my understanding and let my heart be flooded with his truth. Because we need his truth in this fast-paced society.
Now, the point of all this, we live
that's
in a
short.
Society
yeah.
that's short on patience.
That's right.
And they want it. They want it now. I mean, people get upset because it takes too long in a fast food drive-thru. I mean, really? Of course, I used to do that until the Lord snatched it out of me one day. I was murmuring after I'd made a fast food order. This has been 20 years ago. And I'm complaining. And just as clearly in my mind as you're hearing my voice, the Lord said to me, just be glad she's got a job. And I said, okay, Lord, I get it. So I've not done that since.
I'm going to remind you in case you just get in the idea of maybe doing it again.
I know.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Just thought I'd let you know.
Even sometimes when we're praying, if our answer doesn't manifest immediately, we tend to doubt the promises of God.
It's a favorite tactic of the enemy.
It is. Honey, it is. And he knows that delays birth doubt.
That's right.
He knows that. And that's what he seeks to do. But God.
But God.
Does not delay. The enemy likes to see if he can hinder the arrival of God's answers to the problems that we're facing. And we have great scripture on this.
Yes, in Daniel 10, verses 12 through 14. We like to remind ourselves of this once in a while when we get anxious for an answer. This is in the New Century Version. Then he said, "Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in answer to your prayer, but for 21 days, the spirit prince of the king of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now I am here to explain what will happen to your people in the future, for this vision concerns a time yet to come."
We need to know that God's heard our prayer.
Yes.
That our answer, our deliverance is on the way. It may have been delayed.
Yes.
But it's on the way.
That is the truth.
Dr. Schuller had a book years ago entitled Delay Doesn't Mean Denial. And it was a good book. Number three, your circumstances can change immediately. Dr. Warren Wiersbe, a noted biblical author, said, "The world changes. Circumstances change. We change. But God's word never changes." Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And there's one constant in our lives.
That's right.
It's the Word of God.
Amen.
It never
changes.
And neither does our Heavenly Father.
Malachi 3, verse 6, Classic Amplified Bible. "For I am the Lord, I do not change. That is why you are not already utterly destroyed, for my mercy endures forever." That should be a consolation. Neither God nor his word ever changes. And then in Hebrews 13, verse 8, in the King James Version, it says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever."
Well, God and the word will never change. Our circumstances can and will change. And it can come quickly.
Yes, it can. 1 Samuel 9, verses 15 and 16 in the Message Bible says, "The very day before, God had confided in Samuel, 'This time tomorrow, I'm sending a man from the land of Benjamin to meet you. You're to anoint him as prince over my people Israel. He will free my people from Philistine oppression. Yes, I know all that their hardship, their hard circumstances. I've heard their cries for help." One of our favorite teachings, "By this time tomorrow."
I remember when God gave me that. I do.
Yeah.
And within a month, almost identical message that I was teaching was being taught not only in the United States, but in England and other places. Mm. But it was the word of the Lord.
Yes.
This scripture says, by this time tomorrow, God is bringing change to the nation of Israel. They had wanted a king, so he's given them one. Within 24 hours, Saul of the tribe of Benjamin met the prophet. In one day, he went from being a donkey herder to the king of Israel.
Wow.
In one day. I'm confident that Saul never saw himself as a king, but God did. That's why it's important for us to allow God to direct the changes in our lives.
Amen.
He sees potential in us that other people can't see. And in fact, may even be negative towards you. But that doesn't mean it's not coming.
That's right. It's up to us to make the most of it, though. Number four, circumstances will come, but God. Psalm 34, one of my favorite chapters. Psalm 34, verse 19 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, many hardships and perplexing circumstances confront the righteous, but the Lord rescues him from them all. I can remember the first time I saw that and I circled all. I thought, I want to remember that.
If you're breathing on planet Earth, you're a threat to the devil.
Hallelujah.
And if you find yourself dealing with difficult circumstances from time to time,
you need to
remember two words, but God.
Amen.
This next one I'm going to let you do.
Watchman Nee, a Chinese pastor, author, and martyr, really, once said, we should inquire once again as to what the life of faith is. It is one lived by believing God under any circumstances. If he slay me, says Job, yet would I trust in him. That's actually in Job 13, verse 15. That is faith.
Wow.
And also in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 16, in the Classic Amplified, it says, now may the Lord of peace himself, that's what he's granting us, the Lord of peace himself, grant you his peace at all times and in every way, that peace and spiritual well-being that comes to those who walk with him, regardless of life circumstances, the Lord be with you all.
The Lord of peace, the peace of God, removes worry from every circumstance.
Hallelujah.
Removes it. And the confidence in knowing that God has our backs, it's huge.
Yes, it is.
It's huge.
When things really happen, first thing I try to remind myself is,
it's important for us to know
God
our
knows.
Circumstances are temporary.
Yes.
But the Word of God is not. The Word
there
of God
go.
Is not.
That's true.
Rick Warren, the author of The Purpose-Driven Life, said, what happens outwardly in your life is not as important as what happens inside you. Your circumstances are temporary, but your character will last forever.
And I mean eternally forever.
Mm-hmm. Number five, be happy regardless of your circumstances.
Proverbs 15:15 in the New Living Translation. For the despondent, every day brings trouble. For the happy heart, life is a continual feast. The Living Bible translation of that scripture says, when a man is gloomy, everything seems to go wrong. When he is cheerful, everything seems right.
Hallelujah. But Brother Harold.
Yes, I was waiting
for
that.
How can we be happy, cheerful, when we're dealing with such dire circumstances?
Mm.
First, God's on your side.
Yes.
He'll never leave you nor forsake you. In fact, the scripture says he has a grip on you.
Hallelujah.
Second, remember he's the only one with guaranteed answers to whatever you're facing. Not anybody else, but God has guaranteed answers for what you're facing. And third, when we put our trust in him, hallelujah, we get benefits. I like his benefits.
Yeah, especially. James 5, verse 11, Classic Amplified Bible says, you know we call those blessed, happy, spiritually prosperous, favored by God, who are steadfast and endure difficult circumstances.
Hallelujah.
That's it.
Let's give you another reason to be happy.
There you go.
The middle verse in the Old Testament is 2 Chronicles 20:17. In other words, in the whole Old Testament, the verse that is in the middle, exact middle, 2 Chronicles 20:17. And I don't believe that verse is there by random. I think God put it there for a purpose. And since I know you love the Classic Amplified, won't you read it in that?
All right. The 2 Chronicles 20, verse 17 says, "You need not fight in this battle. Take your positions. Stand and witness the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you."
When it comes to dealing with your circumstances, let me just tell you, what and things that are holding you down or back, that verse ought to make you happy. It ought to make you shout. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them. And see, that's not just any enemy. That's any enemy, things the enemy is trying to use against you. Because you can know that the Lord is with you. Mm. Hallelujah. Number six, circumstances don't hinder your blessing flow. No matter what you're facing, no matter how disturbing or distressing it may be, you got to know that God will take care of it and that He's got you positioned for victory.
You need to be expectant. Philippians 1 verse 14 in the Classic Amplified Bible. "Because of my chains, seeing that I am doing well and that God is accomplishing great things, most of the brothers have renewed confidence in the Lord and have far more courage to speak the word of God concerning salvation without fear of the consequences, seeing that God can work His good in all circumstances."
Now, I put those last 10 words in bold, but I want you to underline it as well. Seeing that God can work His good in all circumstances. Mm. Seeing that God can work His good in all circumstances.
And it doesn't hurt His feelings if you remind Him of that. Say, "Lord, I need to see that You are going to work Your good in these circumstances."
See, there's no need to fear your circumstances.
Yes.
Because the Word says God can work good in all your circumstances.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Mm. You know, I like that word. Because nothing's left to chance. Like you said earlier, God will handle all your circumstances.
All. Everyone, all. I like that. 2 Corinthians 9:8, Classic Amplified Bible. "And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come in abundance to you, so that you may always, under all circumstances, regardless of the need, have complete sufficiency in everything, being completely self-sufficient in Him, and have an abundance for every good work and act of charity."
That's a great verse to personalize.
It is.
"And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing, come in abundance to Fred, so that he may always, under all circumstances, regardless of the need, have complete sufficiency in everything, being completely self-sufficient in Him, and having an abundance for every good work and act of charity." Hallelujah. Personalize that verse for you.
That's right.
Amen. Now that verse clearly states that God will give you every favor and earthly blessing in abundance under whatever circumstances
you may be facing.
And no matter how bleak things may look at the moment, God will greatly, and I do mean greatly, bless you. Bless you.
Mm.
Number seven, praise God in every situation and circumstance. Do you believe the Word, that the Word of God says what it means? Do you believe that all 800,000 words in the Bible were placed in divine order? Do you believe the Word gives you instructions and directions to guide you to the rich and satisfying life mentioned in John 10:10 and the New Living Translation, where it says that? Do you believe God is not a man that He should lie? Numbers 23:19. If your answer to these four questions is yes, then you should be shouting as you read this next scripture in the teaching. I think it's the last one too.
Yep. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In the Classic Amplified Bible, "In every situation, no matter what the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We don't always say that it's easy, but it will work to your benefit, believe me.
In every situation.
That's right.
There's no exceptions, no exclusions.
No,
no matter what the circumstances, no matter what it is, be thankful and continually give thanks to God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. See, whether we can see it or not, we got to know God is working in our circumstances, in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And He's doing supernatural things.
Yes.
We should never let what we see or perceive with a natural eye, you know, determine what we believe in our hearts.
That's it.
You should never do that. Never allow the natural to take precedence over the supernatural. Never do that. And I think, honey, one of the keys to this is continually praising God.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that's a real key.
It helps.
I mean, I know there are times when you feel like you've been going through, if you will, allow me to say it this way, a spiritual hell. Praise God in those times. Praise Him for His word, His power, His protection, His provision, and His promotion. Like the song says, praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at noontime. Praise Him all day long.
Mm.
That's the key. Dr. David Jeremiah said, no matter what our circumstance, we can find a reason to be thankful.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's a strong quote. As we move into the last half of 2018, I think it's imperative that we allow God to deal with whatever we think has been holding us back or down or our circumstances. And we definitely need to stop taking ownership of my circumstances. You know, the enemy may bring stuff at you, but you don't possess it, you know. And that's what you got
to
do.
The power of the praise will bring motivation to be able to get up and get going. And one of the worst things you can fall into, really, is letting the enemy get you down over things. Because then you don't want to do anything, and you don't want to get moving, and you just don't feel like it anymore. But praising God and knowing that He will bring you through, I mean, will give you what you need to be able to get up and get out of it.
And see, the enemy, that's the one thing the enemy does not want. He does not want you to think there's a way out.
That's it.
But God. As the scripture we read earlier said, give me some time. I'll find out what God says about your
circumstances.
That's
what Moses said. And we have
and
that ability now.
You know, getting in God's presence and you'll get answers.
The good thing about that scripture, looking at that one in Moses, Moses was the man of God and they had to go to Moses. Today, you can go to God yourself and listen to His voice and know what He says. Hallelujah.
I like
that. That works.
I like this. Give me some time. I'll find out what God says in your circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to know, have a revelation for you. Spend time with Him. I haven't taught it yet. I'm getting closer to teaching.
I was wondering about that.
My favorite book that I read
last
year was entitled Two Chairs. And the book is profound in many levels. But going in and talking to God every morning, sitting down in my chair, looking down the chair, saying, good morning, Lord. And sometimes I go, you know, you're too big and powerful and majestic to be sitting in a chair. But you, God, you can do whatever you want. So
His
I know
presence
you're
is
right
always
here
there
in presence with me. And I said it earlier tonight about the fact that when I ask him, I'll say, Lord, this is where I need an answer.
Yeah.
Or I need direction. And I'll say, as I said earlier, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, answers, directions, instructions, and ideas. And then I shut up. I just listen. And sometimes when I say, God, here's what I need, I'll go, wisdom. And do it that way because you're just clearing your mind. I don't know if you've ever tried that or not, but if the enemy's bombarding you while you're trying to pray, if you just breathe deeply, you can't get those thoughts. You know, I discovered that one of the early days in the chair. Anyhow, so no matter what you're facing, no matter what you think you may be up against tomorrow, God's got your back. Give him the circumstances. Talk to him about what's holding you down or back, and you'll be released and can move on. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You've been blessed by the teaching. Take your mouse, move to the top where it says sow a seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Do what he says, sow wherever I ask. While you're on the website, check out this week's two-minute video. And let me just say this. If you're not listening to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast every day,
you're missing a blessing.
That could be one of the problems you got. Because every day we talk about things that change people's lives.
We do. It's a wonderful thing.
And we get testimonies from it.
We do. It's a blessing.
And it just blesses us.
Amen.
But I can tell you, if you got a tough day, that might be the best 13 minutes you invest.
That's right. It's a great encourager. It is to me, anyway. And I'm in the middle of it.
Our friend Will.
Yeah.
Is here tonight.
Yeah, we're blessed.
How many hours do you drive to get here? Three, four?
Three and four.
So we are.
I've known Will since early 90s. And he's a wonderful man of God and a dear friend. And he's on the call every day.
Amen.
Every day. And a lot of those days he sends me little texts from inside. He got on it.
Praise the Lord.
Look, be on the call. If you need motivation,
yes.
If you need something to jumpstart, see, if you need it to be energized for what you're going to face, listen to the call. If you can't do it live, do it on playback. It works.
That's it.
Hallelujah. I'm through now. Hallelujah. Well, till tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. God bless you.
Amen.
Bye-bye.